Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. The show Ain't No Mo has been called an audacious debut by Deadline. The story's spine is that the U.S. government is offering Black Americans a free one-way ticket to live in Africa forever. The last flight, African American Airlines Flight 1619, is about to leave. In the show, we meet different groups of people who learn about this offer and are about to embark on that journey. The story is told through a series of vignettes that push past the edge of reality while being totally real about tough subjects: abortion, incarceration, cultural appropriation, the killing of young Black men. For example, we meet the cast of the reality show The Real Baby Mamas of the South Side, which features one woman, Roshanda, who claims to be transracial, a.k.a. Rachel Dolezal. The performative Yas Queen energy on the set is punctured during a break in the taping of the reality show within a show, because when the cameras are off, one of the women is revealed to, for example, have an English accent. There's a wealthy family who believes all the accumulation of green in their bank account trumps their Blackness and history until a sort of spirit locked in the basement shows up to remind them she's still around. Here's a clip of the moment the truth teller busts in on their fancy dinner, dressed in a patchwork of rags and quilt pieces, looking like Topsy.
Oh, this place is beautiful! It doesn't look anything like this down there. Can I have some water, please?
Who are you?
I am... Woo-hoo-hoo! What a mighty God we serve! I am calling the police! That won't end well.
Oh!
What are you here for?
Who are you?
I am Black.
Who?
I am Black, as in you.
What?
As in she, as in him, as in early 2000s cornrows Black. As in OJ didn't do that Black. As in OJ didn't do that Black.
One more plot point. There is a caveat that if any of these characters don't go on the trip or look back once they start to board Flight 1619, if they do, they will be transformed into white men and lose all their culture. Like Slave Play and Fairview and A Strange Loop, the audience is invited in and is seduced into being part of the show. And in a split second, the dynamic shifts, and members of the audience find themselves having to make a decision about how much to go along. For some, it will feel like home. For others, a foreign land. And that's okay, because that's the way we learn about one another. Ain't No Mo had an incredible list of backers and co-producers, including Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union, RuPaul Charles, and Lena Waithe. And shepherding the show for the past 3 years was producer Lee Daniels. Daniels joined me on the show to talk about Ain't No Mo, along with playwright and star Jordan E. Cooper. I began by asking Jordan what it looked like for him to get started in the theater world as a fresh college transplant to the Big Apple.
Yes. So I when I first moved to New York, I didn't know anybody, but I was a hustler in Texas trying to get people to see my plays, and I figured the same thing would work out here. So what I did was I specifically had this musical called Alice Wonder, which was basically a reimagining of Alice in Wonderland, except Alice is an overworked, stressed out, depressed 40-year-old Black woman. And basically, it's a great musical. And I figured that people who were coming out of Broadway shows might be interested in seeing another musical. And so I would stand outside the Richard Rodgers Theater. I would stand outside the Stephen Sondheim Theater and all these different theaters, just trying to catch people as they were coming out of shows, thinking like, hey, you saw that. Maybe you'll enjoy this. Maybe you'll enjoy that. And I would stand on subways. Actually, one of the actresses in Ain't No Mo, Ebony Marshall Oliver, she's known me since I was 14. And she could attest to being embarrassed with being on subway trains with me and watching me hand out flyers to shows. And I just wanted people to see the work. You know what I mean? I may not have had the access and the resources, but I knew how to do the groundwork. And so now the fact that I'm actually in one of those Broadway houses is just insane. It's insane.
So Lee, when you first went in to seeing Ain't No Mo the first time, way back machine, what did you know about it when you first went in?
I was coming in nothing, but I can tell you something. If I didn't know anything about it, if I'm an audience member and I'm just listening to you, Allison, I really should put you on my PR team, because you have articulated this in a way that I have yet to see, hear articulated is perfectly. I even understand the show a little better after.
Took me a while. Took a couple cups of coffee, but I got it. I wrestled it to the ground.
I knew nothing of the show at all. I was just told that this was a voice that I needed to hear because I was hiring. I was looking for writers for my television show, Miss Pat, and so I went into New York City looking for writers and. Mm-hmm. This show knocked me off my feet. I couldn't believe the originality, the provocativeness, the boldness in the writing. He didn't seem to care. He had no rules in his writing. There were no rules, and that's what I was looking for my television show. So that was the reason why I not only hired him for my television show, mm-hmm. but I told him I needed to see that everybody saw this on Broadway.
Jordan, I want to talk to you a little bit about the structure of the play. So it's these vignettes tied together by this idea the U.S. government would kindly relocate Black people to Africa. I shouldn't say relocate. They're Black Americans. They would go to Africa. We learned about this in history class. We learned about Liberia or whether it was Lincoln's colonization. When and why did you decide this would be the axis, A-X-I-S, of that these skits would revolve around?
Yeah, so I always tell people that I have a very dark sense of humor. I'm somebody who always finds something to laugh about at a funeral, like why is her wig crooked or why is she not wearing a bra? And it is okay if she gets to heaven without a bra because she will still get let through the gate. I always have to find something to laugh about. And I remember just really struggling whenever, you know, all these unarmed Black men and women were being murdered within days and weeks of each other. And then I had my own experience with a police officer at 7-Eleven. I was reaching up to grab a Slurpee and we were standing next to each other. And I don't know what he thought I was about to do, but he reached for his gun. And then once I put my hands up in the air, he kind of like did this like nod. And I just remember going back to my dorm room and just contemplating the fact that I could have been dead over $1.75 slushy that mm-hmm. that was ripe with corn syrup and was not good for me. But people would have been marching in the streets over a horrible Slurpee. And I just really had to find the light through the tunnel. And to me, that light was like, well, what if we just all left? What if we just all said deuces and just let go of every injustice and every wrongdoing and everything that makes us, you know, not worthy of being Americans in this country and worthless? What if we just all left it behind and went back to Africa? And mm-hmm. that was funny to think about, but as I started writing and exploring these characters, I realized just how difficult that would be and what that would mean that we leave behind if we did all get on a plane and leave. I just had all these questions and all of a sudden I had answers and all of a sudden I had more questions to challenge those answers. And that's really where that came from, yeah.
So Lee, the story's not linear. So we drop in and out of these vignettes and we'll talk about this part of the glue is Peaches. We'll talk about her in a minute. But you're a writer. You're a storyteller, Lee. What does nonlinear storytelling offer creatively?
It's sort of schizophrenic in a way that you don't have to, your mind darts from one story to the next, and you're able to still tell the story, but not in a linear way. And it really opens you up to telling any kind of story because you're not telling it in a linear way. So you're able to sort of, the way he does this is with these different vignettes, is that he's able to look here, look there, look over there. And we're all going at the end of the day on a plane back to Africa.
It's like jazz. I wanted to treat it like a jazz piece. It's like we have all these different kind of impressionistic vibes of who these people are and what their plights are and where they're going, but yet still getting somewhat of a three-dimensional version of them.
It's not traditional. That's the brilliance of it all. It's just not a traditional. You know, and then this happened, and then that happened, and then this happened, and then that happened. We are schizophrenically going all over. What would happen if?
And also to your point about jazz, there's sort of it's syncopated too. Because the skits are not the same length. They're not the same set. They're not there's not a lot of same, even though there is a cohesive, that spine I keep coming back to.
Yeah. And then also trying to, you know, it's hard to try to cover the vastness of blackness because it's such a mosaic and everybody's so different. There is no monolith to blackness. So with each of these skits, you kind of get a different variation of these people's version of black as you get whenever black comes up from that floor, that basement, and basically disputes this aria about what blackness is and how they encompass it. It's a really beautiful thing. Yeah.
We're talking about Ain't No Mo with playwright Jordan E. Cooper and producer Lee Daniels. It's currently at the Belasco Theater. So Jordan, your character you play on stage that kind of connects us all together is Peaches, a flight attendant. She's a boss. She's hilarious. She's just trying to get these folks on the plane. When you think about what is going on in Peaches' life that day, when we meet her, what has been going on with Peaches that day?
Yes. So the night before, she actually got beat up by a group of men who were basically challenged by the fact that she was in drag. And as she puts it, mad that she looked better than the women that they slept with the night before. And really, she's coming into work in pain. She's coming into work sore, but still finds a way to get to her own liberation and get to her own freedom. And I think that that's why she shows up to work, because this flight is for her deliverance as well. But the plight with Peaches is that her deliverance also comes with the very same people who beat her up last night, and how challenging that is, and the love that she has not only for herself but also for her people. To get all these millions and millions of people onto this plane who don't necessarily all agree with how she lives, agree with her identity, agree with how she presents in the world, but still she finds a way to look past that and make sure that they get to their freedom as she's getting to hers. She's literally just I always say she's the blackest, queerest version of myself on stage. She is just not a character that I've seen on a Broadway stage before. Completely unfiltered and completely loud and completely fun and just a real person with a huge heart and a complicated story. Yeah.
She's also going to try to shepherd the culture in a bag onto the plane.
Yes.
As flight attendants are wont to do, try to get the bag on the plane. There's this bag that all of Black Americans' contributions have gone into. It's hoping to get on the flight. And she calls it Miss Bag. So let's listen to a little bit from Ain't No More. This is Jordan Cooper as Miss Peaches.
Miss Bag. Miss Bag will be the carrier of our entire story as a people in this country as we make this glorious transition. Anything that you may have that may fall into that category, please feel free to drop it on in, and it will be sure to meet you at your final destination. I repeat, once your ticket has been scanned, please continue to walk forward into the boarding area. If you look back, the powers that be are unfortunately forced to morph your melanin exterior into that of a privileged white male.
Okay, so forgive my geeking out. I started to think about the Greek myth of Orpheus and Eurydice, when if he looks back, he loses her back down to Hades. That idea of don't look back, have faith, keep going forward. Lee, what is that looking back transformation into a white male fate mean to you?
Terrifying. It's terrifying. It's my worst nightmare. It's my worst nightmare. What is that line that you say, Jordan, when you say, if you look back, you will lose your what? Ability?
You will forget the song you've been singing, the dance you've been dancing. You will never know home, and home will never know you.
I mean, to me, that it, and the way he delivers that line, it says that we are, that's at one point that makes, that's one of the moments that makes me cry. Your performance, the way you deliver it, and also the words themselves, the sentence themselves, home will never know you. That's powerful.
So Lee, I counted up. I think I counted right. I was an English major. I think I counted right. 21 producers in the playbill on this, plus the public theater folks, which is where this originated. What was your pitch, Lee, to other producers to come aboard?
What was my pitch? That this would be the youngest. Oh, by the way, you got it wrong, Allison.
Okay.
He's the youngest African-American playwright.
Thank
on
you.
Broadway. Lorraine Hansberry was the youngest so far for A Raisin in the Sun until Jordan. But that he would be the youngest African-American mm-hmm. playwright, that his voice had to be told, that this would, that for all of us who had nephews that would and nieces that would rather buy a pair of Nike sneakers for $250 than come to Broadway, this would change the game, that this would change the game. This is for our culture in a way that no theater piece has ever been. I think this is the most profound piece of work that I've ever worked on, mm-hmm. is what I said. And I thought that I said also that that this is that it would change Broadway.
For people who didn't want to come aboard, what kind of reasons did they give you, Lee?
The same reasons why they didn't want to come aboard for Precious. The same reasons why they didn't want to come aboard for The Butler or for Monsters Ball. Too risky. Too dangerous. But you know, my work as a filmmaker and as an artist lives in that space. And if you are not living in that space, if I don't feel dangerous, if I don't feel frightened by something, I'm not willing to take the dive.
It's interesting, Jordan. Several reviews use the word fearless. And I kept thinking, like, well, why fearless? What do you think that means?
I think in terms of how other people receive the work, it's just purely the audacity to speak as blatantly mm-hmm. as the play does, to speak as boldly and loudly as the play does. It just, in terms of when you're putting it in relation to other plays that have been produced on Broadway, it is just, and really in its own kind of category as far as the rawness. It reminds me of that. This play reminds me of like those old school comedy albums, like with Red Fox, the uncensored over his mouth, you know what I mean? Or the mm-hmm. Dick Gregory, just saying it raw and saying it dangerously. And I think that this play, you know, it's not like I sat down and was like, I'm going to write a dangerous play. I'm going to write a fearless play. It was just, I literally was just speaking from the truth. And the truth to me came with no filter. The truth to me came loudly. The truth to me came truthfully. And I think that it just presents itself in the context of what else is being seen on the American stage right now as something that is just fearless, which is a really interesting thing. I hope one day a play like this isn't fearless. I hope it's just the truth. But I'm grateful that people are receiving it, and the reviews have been so great. So I'm grateful for that.
Lee, what do you like about breaking the fourth wall? Because this play, on more than one occasion, bust right through it.
I think that what he does here is what most. I don't know that I've seen this on Broadway before. That there's a call and response. This feels like you're in church. It feels like I'm in a black environment again. You know, this medium of Broadway wasn't meant for black people. And so Jordan has made it for black people, has made it relatable to African Americans by making it, especially right at the start with the church scene. You are involved, you are a participant, mm-hmm. you are right there with the actors. That's rare. I don't know that I've seen it before.
What do you like about breaking the fourth wall, Jordan?
I just love community. And I love that theater is an opportunity to connect with community. Literally, whenever we do a show, it's like that is something that will never happen again. These people will never be in the same room mm-hmm. ever again in existence. And treating it as such, treating it as the opportunity that it is. I feel like a lot of times, you know, theaters, traditionally people come and they sit in the dark and they watch the actors do a thing. And I think that this is a play that asks all of us to do the thing. Your experience is dependent on your involvement in this play, right? And I think that it's an opportunity to really let people engage with the work. It feels fresh every night. Like every single night is different. Peaches is monologues. I call out somebody in the audience or I see somebody in the audience. Mm-hmm. Like last night, somebody had this beautiful scarf. I was like, ooh, that's a gorgeous ass scarf. I gotta give you one of those. You know what I mean? Like it's alive. It's not just words on a paper that will live for the next 75 years, you know, or plus years. It's a living thing. And I think that leaning into theater as a living organism and it shifts from night to night, I think it tells the audience that they matter, that this is not something that's going to happen whether or not they're in the building. It is. We need you here in order to tell this story on this night.
That was my conversation with playwright Jordan Cooper, star of the show Ain't No Mo', and producer Lee Daniels. And that's all of it for today. All of it is produced by Andrea Duncan Mao, Kate Hines, Jordan Loft, Simon Close, Zach Goddard-Cohen, L. Malik Anderson, and Luke Green. Megan Ryan is the head of live radio. Our engineers are Juliana Fonda and Jason Isaac. Luscious Jackson does our music. If you missed any segments this week, catch up by listening to our podcast, available on your podcast platform of choice. If you like what you hear, please leave us a great rating. It helps people find our show. I'm Allison Stewart. I appreciate you listening. I appreciate you. And I will meet you back here next time.